Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm DM Neil, aka Jopemaniac.
And I am DM Main Prize, just DM Main Prize. I gotta come up with something cool like what you have, because that really works.
AKA Beardmaniac. And for...
Perfect. Love that.
The episode we're gonna tie back to is episode number 63, Raw Real Monsters number 3. Gith Yankee, Gith Zerai, and more.
Ooh. There was no guest for this episode. However, we do want to just make a reference to our good friend and friend of the show, Rich Howard. He has some 5e, that's D&D 5e, stats if you want to use the Gith, both forms of them, as a playable race in your world. So we're going to put a link to that, those races, those playable races, in the show notes if that's something that your players want to pursue.
And if you like this, you should totally tweet him at Umbral Walker on Twitter and also search the hashtag LonghairedRichHoward. You will not be disappointed. So for this DMnastics, it's number 51, Monstrous Mayhem. And so kind of playing off the Raw Real Monsters idea, I thought that it would be cool if we collaboratively created a monstrous race, specifically one that is a longtime enemy of the playable race that we made on the last DMnastics, the Kurivane. And so for this one, we made the Minwë.
The Minwë. So it looks like, just off the bat, from what the wonderful Dungeon Masters on the forums kind of put together, was that these are, on average, they have a very high intelligence. That just the average commoner amongst this race is about a 14, and that casters are just by default kind of 18 or 20 as far as their intelligence. So you can tell these guys are pretty much smart. From what I know of the Kurivane, they were more warlike, so we're already kind of placing these as being kind of on the other end of the spectrum, being less of the brute and more of the brain.
Yeah, speaking of that brain aspect, the Minwë were set upon the world of Dayambe by Adraxis, the god of science, to learn of what the Ankurai desert holds. So essentially they were set there specifically to go and learn, and that's the native homeland of the Kurivane that we talked about last time.
So I take it that the Kurivane probably aren't too pleased with these people being set in their land.
No, and we will get into kind of a resource conflict is the main thing that put the two races at odds.
Interesting. So tell me what an average Minwë would look like if I was to see one on the streets of, say, Tower Town.
So, like, the physical features of the Minwë are very avian in appearance, very similar to versions of desert birds, though, so not quite as aesthetically pleasing as the Tengu or other races like that, but instead more of, like, vultures and just that, like, the carrion bird kind of feel to it. All of them are bald. And they can actually fly through a combination of having wings as well as magic involved.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so they have the wings and use their bird-like legs and feet to do what we would commonly do as a humanoid creature with our hands. So you can actually see the image of an alchemist, a Minwë alchemist, standing on one leg and using the other taloned foot to stir concoctions and do whatever it needs to in, like, its alchemical lab.
Kind of gross, but interesting.
So many accidents.
Yeah, accidents, and I don't know if I'd want to drink a potion that was stirred by someone's foot.
True.
Yeah. So, and I think another interesting thing to note about the physical features is that the size of a Minwë is kind of dependent on their role in society, and also the color of their plumage, of their feathers, kind of has a basing in, like, where they fall is in, like, the social caste. So not only are they kind of bird-like in appearance, but that appearance really affects who they are in society and what place in society they have. So I think that's kind of an interesting feature.
Definitely. And the color also is an indicator of where they are in terms of the caste system that they have established. So you could have, like, a dull brown to bronze all the way to just, like, a gleaming gold. And the brighter it is, the better the feathers shine. And the emperor himself is actually called the Soul of the Sun, and his feathers seem as if they actually glow with, like, their own light. So the brighter, the better.
Very interesting, very interesting. It seems like as a whole, the race is very much a traditional alignment. They are very much lawful, neutral, just like their creator, Adraxis. They have a very extremely rigid social structure and codes of conduct. So that kind of makes me think that they're very, you know, very samurai-like. They're very much bound to a code of honor.
Yeah, and I think it's like those ideals and that structure that also conflicts with the Kurivaim, who were originally a very nomadic people, and the strong survive and everything like that, whereas the Minwë are establishing themselves as very rigid with both a caste and a culture, and if you're not this, you don't get that kind of thing.
Very interesting.
The Minwë have always called the Ankari Ankari. I don't remember how I said it the first time. So
I think you said Ankari.
The Ankari Desert, and have actually set up like the Pueblo cliff dwellings. And if you want some amazing imagery, definitely head to the forums. And DM Windhover found a couple of awesome images that kind of depict what those settings could look like, or those dwellings.
Very interesting. So you had mentioned earlier that their main issue with the Kurivaim comes from some type of resource conflict, as it were. Can you tell me more about that?
Indeed. So as we had mentioned last week, the Kurivaim were very into the herbs and plants in the desert and using those for very shamanistic and druidic reasons and the hallucinogenic properties. And it's the Minwë that want to take those and use them and study them and cultivate them and figure out how to use them in a more scientific method and see what all they can do. So there's this big conflict over the limited resource of vegetation there in the desert.
Yeah. So I assume they have a lot of border disputes, you could say.
Yes. So then the other interesting fact that was brought up was that the Minwë are super, super territorial, like a mama bird when you get too close to the nest. And they will protect not only their secrets that they have of the all the interesting alchemical things that they've come up with, but the emperor. They will live and die for the emperor and do anything to protect the emperor, who has fun honorifics like his divine eminence, soul of the sun, the enlightened one, scourge of the scaled savages, the winged celestial, the fire of the east, and the phoenix emperor. Bunch of awesome honorifics to go with the emperor.
Those are pretty impressive. I think I'd be happy with just one of those.
We could give you one, I'm sure. We could. The fire of the east. Done. That's yours now. I'm going to go ahead and delete it off the forums. It's for you.
Very good. Yes. Please remove that from the post. Thank you.
Done. So we've come to that fateful time when we will try and take one or both of the two ideas that are left and do some mental weightlifting right now.
Love it. Love getting them weights out.
And so for the weightlifting, we are actually going to take the legendary representatives of the race.
Okay. We can do this.
And one of the things I had mentioned was maybe it's like a warlord or someone that had done super well against, specifically against the Kurivaim. Or it could be someone that's amazing at science and figured out all kinds of awesome alchemical recipes. Or both. Ooh.
Okay.
I like it.
Me too.
What is this person good at?
I think they're definitely good at killing the Kurivaim.
I like it.
I think that just from the names of the leader, that kind of epithets and titles and honorifics are part of this culture. So I think that he would definitely have something along those lines. Maybe he has so many of them, similar to our emperor, that people don't even know his name anymore.
Perhaps
they just refer to him as the current number of how many Kurivaim he's killed. So they just refer to him as like 10,681. And then the next time he goes out to battle, he comes back and it's like 11,403.
I like it. Just a kill counter.
He's just a walking kill counter.
Okay. So I have an interesting idea for a weapon.
Okay.
Let's say this person is a dynamic duo. So let's escalate it just a little bit. So we have this person who is very much the brawn, which is rare for the Minwë. And it's not, most of them are very intelligent.
Common. Yeah. Yeah.
So he has someone that's kind of behind the scenes and equips this person with the best equipment, the best alchemical stuff. What if the person doing all the alchemy behind the scenes had figured out how to use the Kurivame against themselves? And the weapon that this person uses is the, like, protruding bones, because that was part of the aesthetic of the previous race, was that they had protruding bones at all their joints. Mm. But they were using those, and they were still elementally charged.
Okay.
Because there would normally be electricity, so I was thinking of what element could counteract that.
Okay. I think that's going to be probably the earth element.
So how would that, I mean, yeah, how would that present itself, though, as a weapon that this champion has?
That's a great question.
Okay, since we're playing with magic and all things that are that, what if it's just super, super strong? They figured out how to harden the bone into a weapon, but it also grants the wielder, like, magical properties that are earth-based. So almost like a earthbender type stuff.
Yes.
Causing earthquakes and, like, ripping open, like, a chasm in the ground, or being able to, like, rip up rocks and hurl them. Ooh, man, that's how you get a good kill count.
That is really, I like it.
All right. What is the alchemical person known for, though? Like, what's their specialty?
Their specialty, I mean, I think it would be probably creating items, creating weapons.
Okay. I like it.
Or would it be through, like, making, in addition to kind of getting these weapons into the guy's hand, he also, in the game The Witcher, you can, like, make potions or whatever. They have a different name for them. But basically, you can take them, and you take them as part of the process of becoming a Witcher, and they, like, enhance, they, like, mutate your genes, your DNA, to give you special powers. So what if he kind of is creating, like, super soldier serums? Because obviously they are a more intelligence-based race. And so to be able to fight against the Kurivame, who are much more warlike, they have to beef up their warriors, like, artificially through alchemical means.
I like it because it makes me think of a lot of examples. I was thinking of one, and then I just started thinking of a bunch more. I mean, the one that stuck out, though, was, like, Bane, and getting the venom injected and then getting super bulked out kind of thing.
Yes.
Perfect. I also like the idea of using the extracts from the hallucinogenic properties of the flora there in the desert and, like, figuring out how to concentrate that super, super well, and then, like, dipping projectiles in it. And so if you hit someone, they just go and, like, are essentially incapacitated because they're on, like, the craziest trip ever.
Mm-hmm.
Done. We have done it, sir. Once again.
We did it. We do it every time. My muscles are so sore.
My brain. Someone needs to massage my brain.
My brain muscles.
With that, we have something interesting to pseudo-announce. And I'll announce it, because then I will make DM Main Prize talk about it.
Okay.
So if you like what happens here on the DM Nastics, but you don't like that it's once a week, DM Main Prize has decided to do it every day. Every weekday, rather. And he posts on his Twitter account, @DM_MainPrize, something each and every day. And I'll let him talk about that.
So the idea came to me in that I got a new job, my wife had a baby, and life became busy, and I wasn't able to get on the forums as often as I wanted to and kind of get in on the heavy lifting. So I was like, you know what, I need to break it up and just do little lifts throughout the week. So I started a thing called #DailyDMNastics, and basically each day of the week I post a picture and a short, just little set of prompts to kind of get my Twitter followers and followers of the Dungeon Masters block to engage in a creative dungeon mastering brain exercise. So Monday is Monster Monday, and we post a picture of a monster, and we get a ton of great feedback and ideas on how to use these monsters in campaigns and stories. Tuesday is Terrain Tuesday, where I post a picture of a terrain or a location, and we discuss and talk about why our player characters would show up there, what they would be doing, who dwells there, and why. Wednesday is Weapon Wednesday, and I post a picture of a weapon, and we give it crazy stats and special abilities and decide who would wield it and who made it or forged it. Thursday is Thaumaturgy Thursday, and we post a picture of a wizard or some kind of magic user casting a spell. and we come up with what the spell's effects would be, who the wizard who originally created it was, and why. And Friday is Filter Friday, and we post a picture of a potion, and we decide what that potion's effects would be, what alchemical ingredients need to go in it, and what happens when you drink it. So each day of the week, the weekdays, we post a picture and we have an awesome fun time getting in the DMnastics gym and lifting some weights. And it's got a nice 160 character limit, so really teaches you to be concise with your descriptions and with your ideas. So get involved in that Twitter hashtag and you will definitely have a good time.
Yes, and if you want hopefully mildly entertaining ones when I get involved, because there's so many great, very realistic, and air quote that a lot because of what the content is, but very normal approaches to things that you would see in a fantasy setting. Mine, on the other hand, are pure comedic value.
They are always pretty funny. They always get a good laugh out of me. I really enjoy them. And if you ever wanted to run a comedy campaign, Neil's ideas for the Daily DMnastics are ripe for the picking.
Like the picture of three boats on a river of lava, and I called it the infamous High Sea Punch River. The orange lava burst people won't take kindly to this invasion, and put a picture of a High Sea juice box. So you can look forward to things like that.
Absolutely.
And with that, I just want to implore the listeners to join up on the forums and now head over to Twitter and take part in these challenges and exercises, as well as the amazing conversations that are being had.
So to get on the forums, you will head to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics. You can also do this, like Neil said, on Twitter by following me @DM_mainprize. So your players don't ask, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.